Now joined by Kevin Brockway of the Gainesville Sun in Gainesville, Florida. Kevin, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, no problem. It's a busy day, obviously a very happy day for Gator Nation moving on to the Sweet 16 for the fourth straight year.
Yeah, and toting the flag of the SEC, not just Florida, but also Kentucky and Tennessee. The SEC, a perfect 7-0 in the NCAA tournament this year.
Yeah, no question. I mean, I think it's a league that I've always felt, I felt last year, and I think Wally might agree with me, was the worst I had seen in the league in my 10 years covering the league. And I thought this year was marginally better. And when even programs like Arkansas and LSU improved during the course of the season, Missouri, I thought, was a team that was close to. And I think this league is getting a little bit better and starting to get some of the respect it deserves nationally.
Last year was a strange year, though, Kevin, when you had a Kentucky team that underachieved and a Florida team that didn't overachieve. And I think that really hurt the league because those are the two teams everybody looks at in the SEC to kind of lead the charge.
Yeah, I agree with that. But I thought the bottom of the league last year was pretty bad, you know, and I thought Vanderbilt, Mississippi State, and Auburn were terrible. I thought this year some of those programs were a little more competitive.
I agree.
I mean, South Carolina and Mississippi State still struggled, but I thought Auburn was a little bit better. And I thought some of the bottom league, Vanderbilt was a little bit better than they were last year. I thought some of the bottom of the league was a little better. And I think some of those mid-level programs like LSU and Arkansas got better as well.
Kevin, you think it's still on the players' minds that, boy, we're lucky we got out of Fayetteville with that win?
Oh, no question. I think that was a big turning point early in the season when you look at it, when you look back at it. I mean, Scotty Wilbekin's bank shot, and I know Arkansas had a chance on the line late. You know, Cody Clark missed it out, but you're going to have those breaks sometimes. You know, it's kind of funny when you look at Florida's season and from the karma aspect of it, you know, you go all the way back to December, the last time they watched Shabazz Napier hits a shot at the buzzer, and you're thinking, here we go again. Florida had some bad breaks, you know, the previous few years in close games. This year they seem to be getting those breaks, but sometimes you meet those breaks as well. And I think Scotty Wilbekin's decision-making down the stretch has been really a big reason why Florida's performed better in single-digit and tight games this season.
Kevin, when will you head to Memphis?
I'll be there tomorrow. Yeah, we're flying out tomorrow. Pat Dooley and I will be there, and we're looking forward to it. It's a great town, as you know, Wally. I mean, it's a great basketball town, great basketball city. Should be a good atmosphere. With Kansas getting knocked out, you know, maybe there'll be quite a few Gator fans in the building. We'll see.
Don't go have any barbecue at Rendezvous, though.
Why not? Why not Rendezvous?
We're joking.
It's good.
It's good.
Corky's is good, too, though.
Corky's is really good.
Yeah.
Kevin, you talked, though, about the game at Arkansas and how that probably turned around that season when you just had some breaks. And anybody that wins a national championship, yeah, they're probably going to get breaks somewhere along the way. But sometimes you have to make yourself get those breaks. And I think Florida is a team that makes their own breaks, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, I agree. But I think it starts at the defensive end with those guys, you know, really kind of digging in most possessions and, you know, being able to, you know, just make the other team work for quality shots. I mean, are they going to be perfect all the time? No, but this has been a really tremendous defensive team. I think, you know, having the four seniors starting together, the fact that they know each other and work together and practice with each other for 4 years, I think is a big key. But I think certainly that defense is going to be put to the test Thursday against UCLA. Billy at his press conference, Billy Donovan, just said that he felt like it's maybe the most explosive offensive team that they'll see all year, and certainly the most unique team in transition when you've got a 6'9 point guard like Kyle Anderson, you know, that's able to play a little point guard, play a little point forward. He's a very versatile guy. So certainly going to be a tough matchup and a challenging matchup for the Gators.
Kevin, this team, and this is an outside guy looking in, they seem like they really like each other. They seem to be a team that trusts each other. There's no backbiting. There's no bickering. There's no locker room fights. They really like each other.
Yeah, and, you know, Scotty has alluded to that a few times just in terms of and winning those close games, I think, has made them grow even more connected in that aspect, Wally. I just think that it's a team that I think last year there might have been a little disconnect between Boynton and Rosario and that junior group that are now seniors. And this year it seems like they're all together. And I think the younger guys like Michael Frazier, and Dorian Finney-Smith are on the same page with those seniors. And when we can have that kind of continuity and togetherness, I think that bodes well for your team and probably a big contributing factor why they've won 28 in a row and got to this point.
Do you think Billy Donovan is underrated as a bench coach?
No question about it. And I'll tell you what, I tweeted this out. That's pretty interesting because I'm on the USBWA board, and I voted Billy Donovan for Coach of the Year, and the majority obviously voted Greg Marshall, and he was named Coach of the Year. But if you think about it, I mean, Billy was 3-0 against Kentucky. Greg Marshall was 0-1. And not taking anything away from Greg Marshall, he got to the Final Four last year. But to go 18-0 in that league, you've got to have some coaching ability. I think he's really, you know, early in his career, he was known as a recruiter, but I think he's evolved into a guy that's very good on the bench, a very good defensive coach. And I think he's a guy that, you know, he's a collaborator. He listens to his staff. He doesn't hire necessarily yes men on his staff, but he hires guys that will enhance. And I think a young assistant by the name of Matt McCall is the guy that you're going to be hearing on for years to come. He's a guy who was a former student manager on the team who used to, you know, basically do laundry, and now he's one of the bright young assistant coaches on Billy's staff. He's excellent with scouting reports.
Do you think this success will lead Pelfrey to another head coaching job?
Perhaps. You know, I've heard some rumblings, probably about the USF job, which would be kind of fun if another former Arkansas coach.
Yeah, it would replace Stan Heath again.
It would be pretty interesting. Or, you know, maybe even Jacksonville University within the state. You know, certainly has ties in the Kentucky. You'd heard his name floated for the Western Kentucky job a couple of years ago, but that didn't materialize. But I think it'll help John. I mean, I think it'll only enhance, you know, certainly when you win and you get that far in the tournament a number of years, I think it can only enhance him. And, you know, it's kind of interesting also, Wally, that, you know, this is the last year of his buyout at Arkansas. So his salary will drop from that $600,000 to what he's being paid at UF, which would be $190 a year. So, you know, maybe for financial reasons, you know, he might consider another coaching job as well if something's offered to him.
Well, yep. He deserves another chance, though.
Oh, yeah, no question. I think he does. You know, and I think he's a really good coach. He's a good motivator and works well with the group in Florida now, and obviously he has that continuity with Billy. But I don't think he would leave for just any job, though. I think he'll leave for a job that, you know, would suit him and give him a chance to where he knows he can have some level of success.
Kevin Brockway of the Gainesville Sun joins us here on Overtime, covers the Florida Gators for the Gainesville Sun. And obviously it's – Kevin, I mean, the run that they are on right now, outside of what Wichita State did this year, and then I guess you could say pretty much Stephen F. Austin, it's unprecedented.
Yeah, no question. And I think, you know, it's certainly, you know, you have to have some breaks along the way. I mean, of all teams, you know, Auburn really had them dead in water in the O'Connell Center. I mean, they had them down in the last minute, and Michael Frazier hit a big three-pointer in that game, and you know, Vanderbilt had a chance to tie the three-pointer Kentucky in the SEC title game. You look back to that game, they could have won it in the last possession. But this team, like I said, in the close games, it's either a big shot, like Dorian Finney-Smith hitting a three late against Vanderbilt, or a big stop like they did at the end of the Kentucky game where James Young kind of slipped a bit, but Scotty's defensive pressure really helped that. They come up with something at the end of the game, you know, you call them winning plays. That definitely makes a difference. And, you know, they were a little flat against Albany, didn't play their best game in their first game, but that's to be expected of one in the 16. But I thought they really turned it up against Pittsburgh and looked terrific at both ends of the floor, particularly defensively and obviously on the boards with that 38-31 advantage.
How much in talking with them, Kevin, has the sting of last year losing and not getting to the Final Four motivated them to get back this year?
Yeah, you know, they've tried not to necessarily put a focus on that. They've tried not to look ahead in that regard. You know, I'm sure the questions will come, you know, if they get to that point. I think just more of, you know, Billy's really taking kind of like a game-by-game, almost a possession-by-possession approach with this team. And it's worked most of the time. I thought maybe in the Albany game they might have got caught looking ahead a little bit. But I think they're just kind of zeroed in on, you know, what's in front of them in terms of the Sweet 16. There has not been much talk about the Elite Eight being any kind of barrier or anything to break through. But I'm sure if and when that comes and get past UCLA, those questions are going to come, and certainly Ford will have to answer them.
Jimmy Dykes said one time, I want to say, Kevin, this was during the SEC championship game, that Florida probably does not have a player that you could say is a definite first-rounder in the NBA, while Kentucky did. talk about how Billy has made this team and how they are able to go through this tournament and this season the way they have without really having those star players that you could say, okay, yes, he's going to be a star or he's definitely going to play on the next level.
Yeah, you know, and it's kind of reminiscent of, 20 years ago, Lon Kruger took a Florida team to the Final Four that was very similar, that didn't really have that kind of talent level. Andrew DeClercq was a second-round pick. And I think you'd say that Patrick Young could slide into the second round. Casey Prather is athletic enough where could possibly slide into the second round. Scotty Wilbekin, if he continues to play well in the postseason, could open some eyes, be a second-round pick. But, yeah, you don't see any first-round picks on this team. I think Billy's done it. You know, I think it's just the intelligence, you know, the basketball IQ that this team has, and a guy like willing to sacrifice his role for the better of the team. You've got guys like that on this team. But, you know, Billy has alluded to their margin for error is very, very small because of that talent level. But they've got some guys off the bench, too. You know, certainly Dorian Finney-Smith, I think, is a guy who could – if he stays another year or two, can grow into a first-round draft pick. He has that kind of ability. And I think Chris Walker is obviously a guy off the bench that's got a load of talent, but, you know, obviously got off to a late start with some, you know, academic issues and NCAA issues. And Casey Hill off the bench, too, is, a pretty dynamic point guard that's very quick. He's developing an outside jumper. But those guys going forward could be first-round talents.
Kevin, it seems to me that what Florida's doing is kind of becoming a real national trend. These coaches are avoiding the one-and-dones and looking to build programs that stay together.
Yeah, you know, you can say that. Well, I mean, I will say this. In 2012, they had Brad Beal, who was the one-and-done. I think Billy still tries to go for the best players possible. I mean, he did try to recruit Julius Randle and Jabari Parker really hard. But, you know, sometimes it does work out that way. And I think what Billy has done is, you know, with the hand that he's been dealt, he's done the best job possible. You know, Billy's always said about one-and-dones, he said he would recruit a one-and-done player who doesn't necessarily say he is, you know, someone that talent level. But if he has the right mindset of wanting to help the team and not the mindset of, you know, hey, I'm just here to enhance my NBA draft stock, those are the guys that he stays away from. But Brad Beal is a perfect example. You know, a kid from St. Louis who came in with the right mindset but had the talent enough to go 3 overall to the Washington Wizards the first year. And, when they went through that process in April and he saw that his draft stock was that high, you know, Billy gave him his blessing. So I think that's how Billy approaches it.
Kevin, what's the plan for the Gators to try and stop UCLA?
You know, I think the key is just to maybe slow the game down a little bit. I mean, they're so good in transition. You got to really, just dig in defensively. You know, I think that's the key. Anderson presents a tough matchup. I think you'll see them throw a lot of different defenses at him. You know, they'll throw some 1-3-1. I mean, they may press a little bit, but I don't know if they'll necessarily press as much because it might not work to their advantage to get the game going up and down the floor. But I think Florida will probably try to slow them down and, dig in on defense and, make it a possession-by-possession kind of game.
Wally's got them winning the national championship against Wichita State. Unfortunately, Wichita State is out.
I like their chances against Wichita State, though.
I've got them, Kevin, winning against Michigan, which would be a rematch of last year's Elite Eight.
Yeah, that'd be something.
In Dallas, places.
I had them losing to Louisville in the national title game, and the reason why is Rick Pitino 7-0 against Blake, and I kind of think that might be in his head a little bit, but we'll see. After watching Louisville this week, I got a chance to watch them in Orlando. Maybe I oversold them a little bit. I wasn't tremendously impressed, but obviously anytime you have a guard like Russ Smith and Montrezl Harrell really coming on, I think they could be a dangerous team as well.
Yeah, how tough is that ticket going to be in Indianapolis for Kentucky and Louisville?
It's going to be crazy. Crazy nuts. And good thing it's in the dome because, all those seats will be full. The NCAA will be happy with it. With a cut from that one, but that's going to be a crazy game. And, hey, give Kentucky credit for hanging in there with a young team. You know, they had their issues. It's hard to believe this is the same team that lost to South Carolina, but this is a team that's really, the lights kind of come on late for them, and certainly the talent level is there, and we'll see how far it takes them.
Kevin, I know you take them one game at a time, but let's say they do win these next two in Memphis. Do you go back home and then fly to Dallas, or do you just rent a car and make the 6-hour trip to Dallas?
Because Wally's offering up.
Home. Yeah, you know, my birthday will be that week too, so want to go home and celebrate my birthday a little bit. But we'll go home and then we'll fly. We'll hit the airlines again and get those frequent flyer miles up a little bit.
I was going to offer Wally's guest room up.
I don't have one.
Oh.
Maybe I could sleep on Bob Holt's couch.
You could sleep in my junk room.
Yeah, you can go to Bob Holt. I mean, that's only Fayetteville. That's not out of the way.
No question.
Memphis to Dallas via Fayetteville.
Is Billy aware of the Memphis tradition or superstition about spitting in the river before a game for luck?
No, I'm not, but I'll have to ask him that on Wednesday. You know, maybe we'll get some of the beat writers to spit in the river for luck.
Well, and maybe Billy D will do it as well, and then you can get some video of it.
Just as long as Wilford Brimley doesn't take me to the river like in the firm, you know. That's fine by me.
Kevin, thanks so much for joining us. And if the Gators have success and they're in the Final Four, we'd like to get you on next week.
Oh, yeah, anytime, guys.